This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
Properly speaking, Philip Schoeman is in the building.
He is here, and today we're looking at when buying a property. You know, many people want to move in once everything has been transferred into their names. But in some cases, you have people who want to move into their new homes immediately before that ink has dried. They want to move in. When the sale has been confirmed, they just want to take the bags and move in. So what really happens in a case of a delayed transfer? We're talking about occupational rent today. And of course, Philip Schoeman, broker and owner of Freemax, joining us. Philip, how are you doing?
Fine, thanks yourself, guys. Thanks for having me.
Great, we're good. Maybe let's start with explaining what exactly occupational rent is in the case of a delayed sale. Maybe also give an example of what would lead to this.
Okay, so first things first, if you want to move in immediately after signing, red flags. You know,
okay.
For me.
Okay.
I've seen too many things go wrong, and I'll give you some examples.
All right.
But what would generally happen is you would have a normal clause that provides for your occupation rents, and then in case of a delay, the second portion of that clause, which is called mora interest, which is the Latin term for delay, would kick in. Which means, let me use an example, if you were buying for 20, your occupation rent was 15, or 2 million, rent was 15, and now the case is delayed, you would need to increase that rent to 20 so that there's no more benefits or a drawback for either party, so that, you know, the previous bond can be carried and all of that.
So do you know all of this from the beginning? Do we know all of this? Or at what point of the sale is the occupational rent discussed? And who actually decides how much it'll be?
So I had a scenario where the client wanted to move in, and then one of the parties got dementia.
What?
Mid-transaction. We had a client that died. Mid-transaction. One scenario, a client moved into the house that he was buying. Loan got approved. Deposits were paid. And then, you know, I even fixed this guy's pool for him. And then decided that he doesn't want to buy the house anymore.
Wow. Yes. And we've talked about this, that when you change your mind at that point of the transaction,
You can get cold feet.
Yeah.
You know? So I generally don't like people moving in beforehand. So just to repeat your question, you were saying...
I was saying, at what point of the sale is occupational rent discussed? And also, who makes that decision to say this is how much it is?
So it should generally be disclosed right at the beginning of the transaction. Okay. But sometimes things change. You know, you're a month, 2 months into the transaction, a client says, listen, can we move in now? Mm-hmm. You know, the house is vacant. Can we move in? Okay, sure. Because remember, the seller is still paying rates and taxes, still paying expenses. You are now going to not yet assume that until registration as the purchaser.
Okay.
So generally, the seller would decide this. And now we've got to take into account all things. What was the seller's previous bond? Okay. If the seller was paying 10 grand a month, the new purchase price is 2 million. That means a bond of 20. So, and the average rent in the transaction, if this house was normally just rented, would be 15.
Mm.
So that feels right. It's a feeling thing.
Okay.
1% seems to be the norm contractually, but I would say let it pop up from your 15 to 1%, meaning 20. You know, so that there's no more benefit for a buyer to delay. Sometimes it can be beneficial for the buyer to keep delaying. Okay. Because he's only paying 15, and when this thing registers, he's going to start paying 20.
Mm-hmm.
So he's already having the benefit of occupation at a 5 grand discount, if you're with me. But
okay.
The seller still carries the burden and the risk. Sometimes you even find guys calling us to come and fix the toilet or whatever.
Okay.
Because he's been there for 6 months. I'm like, we can't invariably maintain this property forever. You know.
You know. I hear you. You mentioned something just earlier on about, say, if someone pushes to move in and the seller is still there, well, they're still paying the rates and the likes. Just to be clear, does this mean that the previous owner of the house still owns the house until the transfer has been finalized, or the process, you know, means nothing? What does that mean?
100%. So the previous owner still owns the house, means he's going to carry all risks and benefits actually of this property.
Okay.
So if the rates and taxes, any damages, let's say an earthquake comes and the house, you know, falls apart, the seller's going to claim from his insurance, not the purchaser.
Because he's still there.
He's still the owner.
Oh.
But now the purchaser's moved in. So
So it can complicate things.
Very much. Oh, yes. This is why I always say we need to tie the buyer in, because usually it's the buyer that breaches contract. We need to tie the buyer in. If you want to move in, show me some kind of loyalty, you know, by putting down a non-refundable deposit. Let's say the property is 2 bar that you're going to buy. Put down 100K. So long. Even give access to the seller so long. That means now, if you don't go through with a sale, you forfeit your 100K.
Does that non-refundable payment that you put down, does it do something to what you're going to be paying every month? Or
No, it just comes off the initial purchase price. So let's say the property is 2 million because it's the example we've been using. Now you put 100,000 non-refundable, means you're only left with 1.9 to pay.
Oh, okay.
But your rent that you pay monthly, say you pay for 6 months, that's not coming down from the principal amount.
That's just rent. All right.
But we're also not signing a rental agreement, because a rental agreement has its own rights.
Yeah.
We are just signing an offer to purchase with a occupation clause, which means you're actually going to rent the house that you are buying.
Okay, loud and clear. Philip, thank you so much. Always coming through and clarifying these difficult property topics. That's broker and owner of Remax, Philip Schumann.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.